to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite children, if they would like to come forward. Good morning. Y'all can sit right up here. Good morning. Wow, they're sleepy this morning. That's been an early morning. So good morning. I am intern Candace, and I have a little children's sermon for you today. But first, I wanted to know your names and what grade you're in. What's your name?
Clara.
Clara, and what grade are you in?
Second
grade. Ooh, I like second grade. What's your name?
Calvin.
And are you in school yet, Calvin? You're in preschool?
Oh. He's going to be in kindergarten.
Oh, it's so good that he has a little sister or big sister to help talk for him. He doesn't know who I am. He's all like, What's your name?
Anne.
And what grade are you in? Fourth grade?
First.
Oh, I was like, wow, first grade. And what's your name?
Joseph.
What grade are you in? You're in fourth grade? Oh, I got one four, right? Right? Okay. All right. Well, today, I brought this really, really cool story for you. You're going to love it. It's so good. And you're really, really going to like it. And it's from my Christian Dogmatics book from seminary, and it's such a great story. You're going to love it. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to read it to you. While mysticism will require attention, Christians' knowledge must be distinguished from unmeditated knowledge. Again, the categorical supremacy of God is such that one who brings reality... What's the matter? Oh, I know, you want volume 2. Okay, I even brought that for you. Yeah, right here. I have volume 2. Oh, you're gonna it gets better. Oh, it's so amazing. Okay, all right. The posit of free will is a metaphysical claim that this practical freedom manifests a core of indetermination over against all external choices. It explains them by a pseudo-divine capacity. Do you like my story? You don't like my story? Do you understand it? Oh, well, I tell you, I didn't either for a while. I'm still learning, right? Okay, So in today's gospel, Jesus tells the disciples this very important message, and they don't get it, and they don't understand, but they're just like you. They didn't even ask a question. They just sat there, listened, and they just took it. And I'm going to tell you, because you're in fourth grade now, I taught fifth grade, and there's a thing, are you smarter than a fifth grader, right? Right? Yeah. And there are going to be times in teaching that you're going to come across times that when you're in school, you're not going to understand what the teacher's saying. Have you ever asked a question? Yeah? Yeah? Well, today I just want to say thank God for those moments when the light bulb does come on and the light bulb, we actually get it and we actually understand. All right, let's pray. God Almighty, I just pray for these children. I pray that your hand is with them and among them, and that as they are going forth and doing their studies and they are learning, and you are with them, and that you are bringing moments of clarity to them, and that their learning is just amazing and awesome, and that they are never afraid to ask a question. Lord, I just ask all of this in your precious name. Amen. 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 No? No knuckles? Do you need knuckles? Yeah? Clara? No knuckles? That's not like. Okay. Good morning. It is a pleasure and an honor to stand before you today as your intern. Thank you for receiving me with such open arms and graciousness. Please pray with me. God of all creation, I pray that the words of this sermon are words that honor and glorify your name. I pray that this sermon will give light to your holy word and expand the hearts and minds of all who hear, including myself. Amen. Many of you are aware that I just completed my CPE training over the summer at St. Vincent Hospital on 86th Street in Indianapolis. Basically, in 11 weeks, I learned how to be a hospital chaplain. Actually, I think I should say I scratched the surface at learning how to be a hospital chaplain. Now, for me, the entire hospital experience was new and extremely overwhelming. And I'll never forget that time, that moment, when I walked a mom into the hospital room to see her son, who was intubated, and it was the first time she was seeing him. The mom was so full of sadness and emotion. She was anxious. She was fearful. And yet, at the same time, she was so full of love and compassion for her son. I remember the room was silent. No one spoke, and no one moved from the bedside of the son. And I remember I looked over, and all the mom could do, all she could do, was lovingly stare at her son and helplessly cry. In today's gospel, I can only imagine that the disciples, in their silence of verse 32, are just as shocked, just as stunned, and just as full of love and compassion for Jesus. I mean, Jesus is their friend. Jesus is their teacher. Jesus is their Messiah. In verse 32, but they did not understand what he was saying and was afraid to ask him. Could it be that their silence and their lack of full understanding is because of who Jesus is because of what Jesus means to them? Let's set the stage. Jesus and his disciples are journeying through Galilee. And in verse 30, he, Jesus, did not want anyone to know. Now, My question is, why didn't Jesus want anyone to know? Why wouldn't Jesus want anyone to know? I think the answer lies in previous chapters of Mark. It is in Galilee that he taught and healed large crowds, Mark chapter 3. It is in Galilee that he was rejected by the people who knew him best, Mark chapter 6. It is in Galilee that Jesus argued with the scribes and the Pharisees, Mark chapter 2. Do you see? It's no wonder Jesus didn't want him or his disciples recognized. He wanted to be under the radar. He didn't want to be in the public eye, because if he was in the public eye, Jesus would have been surrounded by all these people and, well, expected to be Jesus. Keep going. Let's keep unpacking this. Verse 31. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." The Son of Man. Jesus is talking about himself here. The Son of Man is to be betrayed. Betrayal. Jesus is talking about one of his own disciples to the disciples. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. I wonder in this moment if the disciples looked at their own hands, if they looked inward to their own humanity. If they wondered, how could this be true? The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. Can you see the disciples? Can you hear these words coming from Jesus, their teacher, their Messiah? Jesus is telling them for the second time in Mark, he is going to be killed. He is going to die at the hands of humans. In seminary, we often talk of gaps in Scripture. And gaps are part of the story that are left out. And Mark, in his immediate storytelling, often gets right to the point and leaves out much of the story, leaves much of the story unattended to. For example, verse 30 and 31 tells us that they were journeying, and then in quotes tells us what Jesus said. But if you think about it, I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't just repeating the same information, the same sentence over and over again. The Son of Man is to be betrayed. The Son of Man is to be betrayed. The Son of Man is to be betrayed. I don't think it worked like that. And And I'm pretty sure that them passing through Galilee wasn't in their car at 60 miles per hour. The journey took time. Most likely days and weeks. So another question is, what else did Jesus tell them? What other details did Jesus add to this story that Mark leaves out? What else did Jesus share? And for you theologians out there, did Jesus or did Jesus not know everything that was going to happen? The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Are the disciples in this moment, after hearing all that Jesus has taught them, are the disciples in this moment like the mom with her son in the hospital room? Are the disciples crying? Are they in shock? Are they horrified at what they're hearing? Are they frustrated? Are they angry? Are they wondering why? Are they in disbelief? Are they so full of love and emotion for their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, that they are literally, literally unable to process Jesus' words? Are they unable and afraid to ask questions because they are so full of compassion for Jesus that all they can do is look upon him with love and look upon him with a lack of full understanding? The point is, we are the disciples. We can relate because we all have moments in our own lives that we don't fully understand. Moments where we are paralyzed with fear, moments where we are afraid to ask questions, and as much as Jesus tries to prepare us through scripture and life experience, there are still going to be situations that we live through when we certainly think, what in the world? Why is this happening? I don't understand. And there are going to be moments when we, like the disciples and the mother at the bedside, helplessly and lovingly look upon our loved ones, unable to say or do anything more than just love them. Yet, when we don't understand and we feel helpless, there's still good news. And the good news is, since Jesus loves all, right this moment, right this second, wherever you sit, wherever you stand, whatever space you are occupying, Jesus is gazing upon you and gazing upon your loved ones with a love and affection so deep and so caring that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, you can do that will ever stop Jesus from loving you, from loving your loved ones. Jesus, unlike the disciples, unlike us, Jesus does understand. And all you have to do is ask. Thanks be to God. Amen.